Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We're visiting a beetle spit village next to a chicken piddle lake on a donkey dung island. You can bet we're gonna swear.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today, we're reading Chapter 8 of Melting Stones.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's meet some hot-headed individuals.
Evie sinks into the mountain, where she meets two magma spirits that she names Flare and Carnelian. Flare and Carnelian want out of the mountain and have the childlike energy to try and pull Evie with them. Evie manages to escape and return to her body, where Jyot and Luvo are waiting for her. Luvo is more scared than he has ever been. Jyot and Luvo help Evie recuperate enough to ride home while they discuss where the magma spirits might be coming from. Then Jyot double checks that Evie is secure in the saddle, and they ride to meet Rosethorn, who will likely doom Evie to an eternity of making soap.
Yes.
What a bummer.
Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. Tell me all about it, y'all.
I have a theory, but I don't want to say it in case it might actually be true.
But you should say it.
Should I say it?
I said the theory of
fire
in us, right? So
because I think I cracked it. Like I really, really do. I feel very confident.
Theory.
I don't know why the volcano is doing this, but I know in my heart of hearts that someone that we like is gonna die. Who do we all like?
Sure. Luvo. Oh, I already knew Luvo was gonna die.
Yeah, but he's gonna get like thrown into the volcano, and he's gonna be like, hey everybody, all you little spirits and stuff made out of magma, you know, I know that you think exploding everywhere suddenly violently killing all these creatures on the surface is a really cool idea, but maybe you shouldn't do that. And then it erupts like out of the side and like trickles down and makes more island or something. So Luvo sacrifices himself to keep everyone from dying on the surface.
I definitely also think that obviously there's going to be a volcano. And I feel like these spirits, once they crack out, all the rest of the spirits are going to go everywhere as well, because they also went out, but they need somebody to guide them. And I feel like these two are going to be their guide to get out.
And instead of like exploding the main magma chamber that's going to like fucking erupt like fucking Krakatoa, it's going to like ooze out of the side or something or somewhere else. Like I already call it that Luvo's gonna be like, hey everybody, go out this way, because maybe you don't want to kill everyone on the surface. That kind of suck, because I've met a lot of them and they're nice. And then he dies, and then the island erupts sideways and it doesn't kill everybody.
I think either Luvo or Jyot is gonna die. One of the two. Somebody's gonna die.
I do like Jyot.
Yeah. I really like him too.
Jyot's got too much to live for. Luvo's already seen enough, and he's like, I'm tired of this. I also know that Evie and
so did Flick. Flick had a whole lot to live for, and she fucking died. So Glocky's mom had a whole lot to live for. She fucking died.
Both are moms.
Both are moms.
Maybe it's going to be Rosethorn too.
She already died once. Why not again?
Yeah.
I want to know what happens to Luvo's mountain if he dies.
Ooh. That's a good question.
Because is it like Evie with like if her magic,
her magic stuff dies,
her body dies?
Yeah, yeah. Like if Luvo melts in a volcano, does spontaneously this mountain on the other side of the planet just also crumble? Yeah. Or is it just like dead?
I bet it probably dies because it's the heart of the mountain. If it doesn't have a heart, then it kind of dies.
Dies.
I think it's like a husk.
A husk of a mountain.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Interesting. But yeah, Luva's gonna die and it's gonna suck and I'm gonna cry. Who would know I would have these feelings for a fucking gummy bear made out of rock?
I said in our last discussion with Tortala Knights that Luva was going to be your new favorite character.
I love Luva. He's great. He's
Luva is amazing.
I was like,
he's a gummy bear.
I was like, Goodwin always likes the non-human characters. We asked him, who is your favorite character in the first four books? And he was like, Briar's Tree. Who's your favorite character in the next four books? And he's like, the Glass Dragon. So clearly, his favorite character in the next set of books is going to be Luvo. So I absolutely knew you would have these feelings for the Stone Gummy Bear.
Yeah, he's awesome. Luvo's great. And it sucks that he's going to die. Because I know he is. Like, I can tell. You can tell. I've read enough of Tamra Pierce, like, in the series to be like, yeah, he's so helpful and cool and nice and everybody likes him and respects him. Yeah, he's gonna die.
And he's too scared of the mountain and all the volcano shit that's happening.
He's afraid. He's scared, but he loves Evie and he will sacrifice himself to keep her alive and it's gonna suck. All of Evie's like paternal trauma has already happened when she was like a young child. So now she needs to get hit again as an older child because that's
kind of what happened with the other four.
Yep. Yeah.
They already had a paternal figure die and come back. Maybe Luva will come back, but he seems very sure that he's going to die if he gets in contact with.
He's going to die if he goes in contact with that.
Yeah, I don't. I'm scared. I don't want it to be true.
I feel like he's kind of like Daja, where her magic it has something to do with that, so she gets sucked into it. Where Triss, she can just like fall into it and be like, "Ah, volcano." Daja though had to learn how to shield herself too. So I feel like Luvo is a lot like that too, but yeah, he's not able to shield himself.
Brittany, do you have anything else to share aside from some spickery theories?
Yes, my first like was the description of what Borm's Flare and Carnelian take whenever they're talking to Evie. Flare was sapphire blue, still with his trailing flame of hair, which seems pretty cool. Flaming hair, that sounds awesome. He had black rimmed eye holes around flame eyes. Flame hair, flame eyes, that's so cool. And then Carnelian had turned her fiery hair black like mine. She made herself a nose and mouth.
That's the opposite of cool, though.
It's cool.
They're hot.
Oh my god, shut up.
Boo.
Boo.
I approve, Indy.
Oh my goodness.
I approve.
I read this chapter before I listened to the audio. And so Blair and Carnelian were kind of freaking me out a little bit. It was almost like a horror movie. And so we're like, we're the children of the pool. I'm like, no, get out of there. They're scary. Get out.
Literally, children of the corn, children of the pool. Right? Like,
I was like, no. And then they ask a million questions. And I was just like, we want to go out. Do you want to do that? Like, no. These two are creepy. Get out. Get out. I have not seen any scary movies. But no. These kids are giving off some bad vibes, man. But then I listened to the audio. I was like, okay, they're not nearly that scary.
They're just children.
They're just kids. My next one is when they call Evie Funny Spirit. And Evie's like, my name isn't Funny Spirit.
It's a funny spirit, though.
You know? Funny Spirit, yeah.
It's because that's not her name, doesn't make it false.
Sure. My next like is when Luvo is giving Evie a massage, basically, by like walking on her back.
I want a Luvo massage.
I want Luvo massage. That sounds amazing.
45-pound smooth rock just kind of kneading like, everything out.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. She might have to go make a bunch of soap, but hey, she got a massage, so worth it if you ask me.
You have a child.
No. I don't think the child can massage as well as Luvo.
No. I've had Malia walk on my back before. It does not feel great. It doesn't feel good.
Malia doesn't have the centuries of experience that Luvo has.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Makes all the
difference. Then Luvo can like adjust his weight too. Malia, she's not good at that. She can't do that. Nope.
Gotta go introduce her to the heart of a mountain. Teach her how to do it.
Exactly.
Massages are something that really require a lot of patience, and children don't usually have that.
Yeah, nope. Mm-mm. I like that Jayat saw that Evie needed help with her braid and was like, here, I'll help you. My master has arthritis and I have a bunch of sisters, so I know how to do that. Let me help you. It was really cute. He's just such a great guy.
He really is.
My next one is when Jayat was telling Evie what he was doing whenever she was out of it. Jayat says that Luvo has told him about Briar, and he says, your friend Briar sounds like quite the fellow. And Evie's like, he's usually the first to tell you so, too. I am quite the fellow.
I was going to say, that's
so great. That's like, and you should know this.
I'm amazing. I don't know what I can talk about. I'm awesome.
Mm-hmm. He's especially likely to tell you that if you're female, I feel. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess not even necessarily female, just somebody who he's interested in sleeping with.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was my last one.
Since we're talking about Briar, I'm going to jump in. Because you know who reminds me of Briar? Flair.
Yes.
Like when she names him, when she tells him that she's named him Flair, he's like, Flair, I understand. I do that all the time.
It's just awesome. Like,
you are Briar, my friend. I like that Evie keeps her magical self human so that she won't forget. That line kind of reminded me of in Street Magic when she's meditating and she almost turns herself into stone. It's like she learned something from there.
Yeah.
The problem with these creatures is that they never ran out of strength.
Probably because they have a bunch of fire near them.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, I'm sure that at this moment, I know that in like the last chapter or maybe two chapters ago, you were very annoyed by Evie, but I feel like at this moment, you probably relate to her on a very personal level. Flair and Carnelian also remind me of your children.
Yes. Ongoing forever and ever and ever.
They never run out of energy.
We were trying to sleep last night and Malia is not in school right now, so I let her stay up as long as she doesn't bother us. And she kept running back and forth like, girl, you gotta go lay down. You don't have to go to sleep. You can watch TV. You just got to lay down because you're running back and forth. You're bothering us. We got to go to work tomorrow.
I like when Jayat tells Evie, I've never seen a living dead person before. The way Evie describes this is he acted like it was a perfectly normal thing to say. She wakes up and he's just like, oh, I've never seen a living dead person before. Also, this just makes me want to get Jayat and have him come hang out with friends and watch zombie movies. My hair fell all around my face. I had to do something with it. The stuff was down to my waist and flopping everywhere since Jayat removed my headcloth. That's a lot of hair.
The way she's talking about it, I'm surprised she doesn't chop it off. She's like, it's flopping everywhere and getting in my way. Like, cut it. You used to have it short. When we first met you, it was all cut short.
No, it's fine until it's no longer held in place where you left it.
So I think it's much like me. There's a point in time in which you're like, I'm gonna let it grow out. This is a spiritual and emotional journey. I just don't ever get far because I hate long hair.
And then, of course, they mentioned hot springs, so I thought of Eureka Springs, especially because I think they talk about like people going there to like get curative baths and whatnot. And I was like, hey, that's where I'm from.
I thought of hot springs,
where people also went to go get curative baths. And still do.
Come with us. We have a wonderful game. It's called Let's Find a Way Out.
My favorite game. It's so much fun.
Carnelians sound heartbroken, like a little girl who had lost her favorite doll. Who cares about explanation? She's Evie, you're Carnelian, I'm Flair. Creatures from the cold world have names, and so you will, too. We are going to leave the pool and become famous, even if we die. There's just something about that.
It's very matter of fact. To be honest, what that reminded me of was thinking of people's, like, you know, how they refer to their genders and stuff. And it's like, it doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't really matter. We're all just here. We're going to die eventually. We can just refer to ourselves how we want.
Fine. Yeah. She said, come back with a coffin, because that's how she's going to ship you to Winding Circle.
Rosorn, just no chill at all.
I love that, because I'm just like, yeah, that sounds like Rosorn.
It's just, yeah, it's just regular. That's and how poor she's Jaya, always been.
He's not sure if she's joking or not. Poor guy.
Yeah. And she also sends food.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's still, like, nervous about it. He's like, is she gonna beat you?
She's ferocious.
She really is.
Well, also, we learn from Jayat that this is the culture he's from. So he says, yeah, Tahar used to beat me when I was a kid. And, like, disobedient or whatever. Didn't I compare Jayat to, like, rural farm kids in an earlier chapter? He's just from here. Because we do that, too.
Yeah.
I'll talk about that later.
This is the confirmation. Her mother was a pirate queen.
That's why she punches so hard.
My theory is not unfounded. There it is.
I still wish we would have got more about the pirate queen.
Yeah.
We're getting a little bit more now. I guess she had a daughter. That's cool.
Yeah.
But I wanted to know more about her before she just got blown up.
Atomized. To shreds, you say.
Thanks, Triss.
Thanks, Triss.
They deserve it.
They did.
The lady who tried to buy me for her house and pet gang would have beaten me. No, she would have had me beaten. She wouldn't have soiled
accurate. Me with me.
Yeah,
100% accurate.
That clarification, kind of painful to hear, like, but just a reminder how evil Ladies in Audio was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In case we needed it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, in case you needed that reminder.
Yeah, just in case we forgot about the child gang violence.
Brittany's learning more about how she needs to do this. That's right, Brittany. Don't hit your children. Have somebody else do it for you.
Yes.
Get your own children to beat your other children.
Yes. Don't soil your own hands with beating them.
Well, I mean, Steven has threatened Malia with the chancla before, and so Zania has picked up the chancla and has tried to hit Malia with it. So
she's learning. Good.
Start up young.
What a goober.
Yep.
I'll be on my way to Winding Circle tomorrow with orders to make soap and dip candles forever.
I like the line that comes right before that, if I may. Have you ever made soap? Let me tell you, a temple needs a lot of soap. She's quite happy to tell them you'll make it all. Which is just such a solid punishment.
Uh-huh. It really is.
I don't know if this was brought up earlier in this book about just how bad soap making is, but it, along with making leather, are like the two stankiest, hardest, most disgusting thing you can do in this sort of like kind of rural village life, like before industry really comes in. It used to be on the outskirts of a village because it is so fucking stanky. Getting punished to make the soap for an entire, I'm guessing, couple hundred, a thousand, maybe a couple thousand people at like a big temple in a big city, that's gonna fucking suck.
Yeah.
Aside from like corporal punishment, I don't see another punishment that could be worse than that, other than maybe cleaning latrines. It's bad.
I don't know. I think I'd rather get spanked. At least it's done and over with. Like, okay, the pain will be there for a couple of minutes. And then, okay.
But in a way, doesn't that make, like, from the side of the, like, adult, doesn't that make the soap making a better punishment? Like, going to stick with you.
That's totally going to stick with you.
Plus, you get soap out of it.
Yeah.
It's debatable, especially depending on how it's dealt out, but it's kind of like this, well, you have to contribute to the community because spanking a kid doesn't like do anything in that regard, but giving them a responsibility like making soap, or at our school, sometimes the kids who get in trouble instead of ISS, they stay after school and help the custodians, you know, then you're contributing to something, which possibly makes you like actually care about it more. Because if you mopped that floor, you're far less likely to like track mud on it later.
Yeah. And get more upset about it when other kids do it. Like, how dare you disrespect this man that's cleaning up after us? Stop it.
Because if you don't go through it, you don't know just how hard it is.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Soap making bad. Good punishment. That's what I'm going to do when my kids are bad.
You're going to make them make soap?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, by hand. Okay, maybe they'll have gloves so the lye doesn't eat their skin off. Most of mine have been taken, but I've got two. Well, maybe one, actually. But yeah, the black eye hole, fire-rimmed, flaring carnelian. It is very much a horror movie image, you know, like a flame-eyed demon just like existing under the ground and like forming a body to show you that, mimicking you. Sounds like a demon from hell. That would like it is a horror movie to me. Like, I get that they are children and they don't necessarily have bad intentions, but the visual
can be creepy. Kids are so creepy.
The whole visual of it made me be like, yeah, that's a demon.
We're just trying to get out. We just want out.
Let me out.
With us.
We'll smush you up against the wall. You'll be fine, I'm sure, funny spirit.
Come play a new game. It's great fun. We won't kill you with our fire. It's fine.
The other one was Evie thinking about when she was floating high above the pool of lava, imagining asking Oswin if he would take in two new kids, and her being like, oh yeah, I could say they're a little hot tempered, or a little hot at hand, or a little hot under the collar, and it's just, she's trying. I can't be too mad because I'm the type of dude to be making shit up like that too. But it was like, oh, she's really really trying. It's not working out right now, but she's trying.
My husband needs to be reading this book.
Oh yeah, he would love that.
Yeah.
She'll get there. It'll be fine.
I really hope this comes back and like she has like a really good one at the end.
Well, if they are Luvu like, then she could potentially introduce them to Oswin.
So yeah, if they decide to make like physical bodies that aren't liquid magma, that might be cool. Yeah, because they do want to get out.
They do,
even if it kills them, and it might not necessarily have to kill them.
We'll see.
Yeah, I like the confirmation that the little vents that are releasing the fumes from the volcano killing the plants is doing the thing, which is what volcanoes always do. They release a bunch of fumes that kill everything around them, and it's like, yeah, that would poison water, that would kill the plants, that would all the symptoms, the cause, it's all kind of there. We just kind of need to figure out why. If it is just a natural thing, that a force of nature, which is what it looks like, or unless they're being like brought there intentionally or something. Can't wait to see that. And at the end, I like Rose Thorn Evie saying that she will be weeding acres of gardens for weeks. I didn't hear enough well hanging for my liking, but I like these new punishments.
Rose Thorn is branching out.
Yeah. They're acceptable.
They've gotten used to the well hanging. That she's like, no, they're so used to this already.
It's not enough, and it doesn't help the community.
No, right. It just, if anything, it poisons the well water.
That's what I was gonna say. Because that's what she tells Briar in the first book. He's like, "Are you gonna hang me in the well?" And she's like, "I'm not gonna poison the water."
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or a message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
The theme that I found is one that I found a lot, not just in this book, but others, but perspectives. Flair and Carnelian don't know anything apart from like the walls of the magma chamber that they've been in. They know nothing of the surface other than that it is cold, at least compared to where they're at now. So they have no point of reference to when someone knew, like Evie's magical body. They don't know anything, and when they see this cool new spirit, they're like, hey, surely you know about everything we do down here, because that's all that they know. Their perspective is so small and contained, which is fine, because they're not humans. They're literally fire, like magma spirits, living in this collective pool underground. So when Evie meets them and kind of tries to explain who she is, are they mages? Like, they don't know what that is. They have no idea.
What's a mage?
Yeah, where's your pool? Like, you know what a pool is, because everyone
we were born
lives
in
a pool.
Everyone's born in a pool.
Yeah. So, like, there's just no perspective from their end where she's from, and vice versa. She has no experience with a pool full of magma spirits. So she's like, what is going on? What are these things? A mage with more experience would know. I question if any other mage has been this close to a magma chamber. So I don't know if another mage would know. So she could be treading on totally like unknown territory.
Maybe, but, Tris, because she went into some lava before.
That's true. Yeah, Tris might know. But aside from her, I can't. I don't think a regular like fire mage would be able to understand. That kind of brings me to Jayat, who is like, back when I would do bad things, my master would beat me. And like, he's like, so Evie, Rosethorn's gonna beat you, right? Because that's like, she threatened to like murder her essentially as a joke. We know it's a joke, but Jayat doesn't have that perspective of who Rosethorn is actually, not just the front that she puts out in front of the other people. So he's like, you're actually going to die, right? Like, you're going to get beaten the fuck up by your master because you did a bad. And she's like, no. Like, you don't know her like that. You don't know what we've been through collectively. And he just has no context to their relationship. But then we kind of see Evie be like, I get where he's coming from, because she has been beaten in the past by the people that were supposed to be, you know, in charge of her, I guess would be the nice way to say it. Because she was a slave, and then she was going to be taken as a student. So she was a slave, and she would be beaten if she didn't do what she was supposed to. So she's got his perspective, but he doesn't really know hers.
It's kind of like going back to comparing Jayet to people around here. I had a coworker several years ago who learned at some point that my parents did not believe in corporal punishment, and they did not hit me as punishment when I was growing up. And she was like, but you turned out okay. How did that work? And that's not the words she used, but that was kind of like she was shocked. And I was like, I don't know. We used our words, I guess. Like, it's not something that I ever really thought of until this coworker had this reaction. But yeah, she had this perspective of, well, yeah, that's just what you do. Kid is bad, you hit him with a switch or whatever.
Make him pick one, yeah. Not to go on a total tangent, but that reminds me like a little bit of the whole like Christians versus atheists thing. Christians are like, if you don't believe in God and like heaven and that hell exists, what keeps you from being evil if you don't have this source of like punishment and reward in the afterlife? For me anyways, as an agnostic theist, like something's out there. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's God from the Bible, but like, I don't need to be punished to be a good person, because when someone's nice to me, it feels good. And I would like to be nice to other people in return and just live in a society where everyone can be polite, and people that take advantage of others, like physically or something, are dealt with appropriately. I don't need to be goaded with a stick and a carrot to be a nice person.
Yeah. My theme is fear. Evie is afraid that she is going to be killed by these children. Not intentionally on the children's part, but she's scared that their hot bodies, that sounds so weird, could potentially kill her. Luvo is also scared for Evie because she's in magma exploring and she could die. He worked hard to get away from that place because it's scary, and now she is putting herself at risk and could potentially die in there, and he's terrified. Jayet is scared for Evie because Evie did something crazy, and now he's also afraid that she's gonna get beat. That's all I could think of for this chapter.
Then can we take a minute to actually talk about Luvo in this chapter, because we didn't? Because I believe when Evie gets back, she finds out that Luvo has been like curled up into a ball.
Yeah, he's been curled up in a ball the whole time and not talked at all. People have asked him a couple questions and he'll answer like a couple here and there, but for the most part, he's just been curled up, terrified.
Yeah. So Luvo is so scared that he's acting very out of character. And this is a mountain who's pretty chill,
who's seen some shit.
Yeah, and doesn't freak out easily.
No.
Right. Indy, do you have a theme?
I was gonna say mine's kind of close to fear. It's uncertainty. Evie doesn't know if she's gonna make it out alive. And then there's that uncertainty when it comes to like Jayet going, oh, is like Rosalind actually gonna hit you? Like, are you good? Do you need help? Luvo's uncertain of what kind of outcome will happen when Evie has gone in. The only one who is certain of anything, and that's Rose Thorn, and Rose Thorn is certain that Evie is going to be making soaps for the rest of her natural life.
I didn't really come up with a theme. I had my theme box in my notes blank all the way up to the start of this recording. The best I could come up with was like maybe exhaustion, because Evie's really exhausted and these kids wear me out.
Yes.
Yes.
part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. And I'm going to go first because we've already talked about mine fairly extensively. Don't hit children.
That's a good one.
Like I said, we've already talked about it, but I'm going to read some information from the World Health Organization. Evidence shows corporal punishment increases children's behavioral problems over time and has no positive outcomes. All corporal punishment, however mild or light, carries an inbuilt risk of escalation. Studies suggest that parents who used corporal punishment are at heightened risk of perpetrating severe maltreatment. Corporal punishment is linked to a range of negative outcomes for children across countries and cultures, including physical and mental ill health, impaired cognitive and socio-emotional development, poor educational outcomes, increased aggression, and perpetration of violence.
I like Rose Thorne's idea of making Evie make soap. If one can make soap in a way that one is physically safe, I have yet to learn that soap making is bad for kids.
It ain't good for kids, but the thing that you do to people, you know, when you instill something into children, discipline. It's good at instilling discipline into children. Probably not good for their lungs or skin.
Well, that's why I said, you know, if you can do it in a way that's safe for them physically.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The other thing that Evie is going to have to do for the rest of her natural life is candle dipping. And candle dipping is actually not all that bad. Especially if you get like organic, like beeswax or soy or any of these things that don't have like paraffins in them.
Her other one is also cooking in a very small hot room and that has to constantly be stirred. Oh, that sounds awful. Steaming pot on you, hot room.
I don't like it is because I would rather not dehydrate my child.
Constantly stirring. You're going to get an arm workout. Oh my goodness.
As long as they don't die of heat stroke and dehydration. I like that one.
Mine is kind of tied into Molly's. Controlling your anger in general. I know growing up, I was used to seeing a lot of violence. My mom and her boyfriend would always get into fights and like throw stuff at each other or yell at each other or hit each other. It was something that I was used to. And so growing up and getting into relationships of my own, I thought it was just normal to do those things as well. Hit people and throw things and yell. And just I've gotten a lot better. And I want to continue to work on myself of controlling my anger because it's not normal to yell and scream and hit all the time, especially now having kids of my own, seeing the fear in their eyes whenever I do something like that is not fun. It's really heartbreaking. And I don't want my child or children growing up in a home where that is normal. I don't want them to have to work through that kind of issue like I did getting into my own relationships. I want them to have a normal, stable, loving environment where they don't have to worry about something like that and model that for their own relationships later on. You can be fierce, give punishments, but don't lash out and hit people.
That definitely applies to me as well.
Mine is in a similar vein. It's even if you're mad at someone, even if you're mad at someone you love, be considerate. Rose Thorne is obviously very, very mad at Evie for running off, magicking herself into a volcano and freaking everyone out. So even though she's threatening to, you know, that she will send her back in a coffin and all these other punishments.
Saying, let her starve.
She still brings her food, or left her food. She still left her food, left her, like, a lamp in case it was dark when they came back. Like, she left her stuff to still be safe and taken care of, even if she's mad at them. And it's just good advice.
So mine actually directly ties in with Goodwin's theme. Everybody has a different perspective than you. I have always tried to play devil's advocate when it comes to like why people do things, why people think ways that they do. Everybody has a different view of the world. And sometimes you have to put yourself in their shoes in order to grow as a human being. That's not my favorite thing to do, be honest with you. But it's, yeah, like, just be conscious that other people have different life experiences. And sometimes that doesn't make sense with what you know or what you've been through. And there are certain things that I'm like, yeah, judge that motherfucker on. But there are a lot of things that, like, I'm like, as someone who grew up in the South and with a particularly volatile household, I know that there are people who don't have those experiences. And so when I react in certain ways, it doesn't make sense to them. And people who are just like cool with things that they shouldn't be cool with doesn't make sense to me. I need that reminder. I think everybody needs that reminder. We all have different life experiences. We all have different views on things. Learning from other people can help us grow as people. Now that said, I'm going to share something that I heard not too long ago, because I've always been like, yeah, I play devil's advocate. Like, you know, oh, this person might have reacted because of this reason or like that reason. Someone was like, all right, you know, for you want to play devil's advocate. What devil are you playing advocate for? Racism? Homophobia, misogyny, what devil are you playing advocate for? And I'm just like, ah, that's terrible. I never thought of it that way, and I hate that.
Some devils should not be advocated for. No,
absolutely not.
Yeah.
I cannot advocate for, like, homophobia and racism purely because, like, marginalized groups do not deserve to be discriminated against because they are a marginalized group. The system is already stacked against us. It is more so stacked against people with multiple minorities. We all need to understand this. That's a devil I cannot play advocate for. But
yeah,
like for like situations where somebody gets offended about something that's supposed to be a joke, say like, oh, look at you, you're on time today. Somebody getting mad because someone makes that comment. They probably have time blindness and cannot judge their timing. And so they probably put a lot of effort. They couldn't do anything else because they are paralyzed by time blindness. So they did not wash the dishes that they needed to wash. They did not go do a hobby for 45 minutes because they were fully dressed and ready to go 2 hours before they needed to walk out the door. These are the things that, like, I play advocate for.
I know one that I bring up constantly, which is, like, the bane of Allison's driving experience is, because it helps me stay calm as well. Why are people speeding? Why are people driving like jerks? Like, I'm always like, you know, maybe, just maybe, they're on the way to a doctor's appointment and they ran late because something happened that made them late, not their fault, and they need to get there or else they might suffer. That's always mine. Like, there's always some reason why someone's being this way, and it might even be a good reason, but that's my excuse to keep me from getting mad at them for driving shitty.
I guess Indy and I are going to have a little discussion in the secret chat about which excerpt that we should, while Brittany and Goodwin discuss what they think happens in this chapter.
Well, I kind of feel like an excerpt should be about how to get out of trouble, because that part has already been ruined for us. So, because that's the title of the chapter.
Fair. Out of trouble. How do you think she's going to get out of trouble?
Luvo's going to help her. He's going to be like, hey, there's something going on with them there rocks. Rose Thorne's going to be like, ah, if Luvo knows, then okay, all right, I guess it's okay. He's thousands of years older than I am. Who am I to say if he's lying or not?
Do you agree, Goodwin?
Sorry, what? About the excerpt, right?
Yeah. So chapter 9 is titled How to Get Out of Trouble. Mm-hmm. How do you think Evie is going to get out of trouble?
I think she's going to explain why everything's dying. And
Luvo's going to help her.
Yeah, and Rosner's going to be like, that makes sense. You're no longer to weed the fields for the rest of your days.
And then Murtide's going to be like, oh, man.
He couldn't figure that out because he's a water mage instead of a rock mage. He's a loser.
Yeah. All he's good for is making waves wear hats.
That's right.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 9 of Melting Stones, How to Get Out of Trouble. Before I knew what he was up to, Oswin came over and picked us both up. Like Jayet the night before, he wasn't ready for Lubo. His knees bent under us. He grunted with the strain. His face turned a nice dark ruby. As he staggered to carry us to the table where Azaze and Fusspot sat, I tried to distract him. The Emperor of Yanjing gave me a coat made of silk that was the same color as your face right now. You forgot about Lubo's weight, didn't you? You're very strong for an old man. I'm 45! That's not old! Oswin slid us onto a bench at the elder's table. It certainly is not. Lubo sounded almost huffy as I put him on the table. Azaze had been talking to Fusspot. Now she got up and looked at the people who had been witness to all of this. The rest of you, off to your homes. The council must gather immediately. Master Miller, Mistress Weaver, Master Carpenter, will you remain? I'll send an ostler for the smith, the chief herder, and the chief miner. Jayet, fetch your mistress. Tell her I insist. Jayet gulped. Yes, headwoman Azaze. He ran out of the inn. Azaze went outside for a moment. When she came back, she sat down across the table from me and looked me in the eyes. I don't think I flinched. It was hard. This tall, stern-looking old lady would do better as a queen than as the headwoman of an armpit little village snuggled to a mountain that was about to blow up. What do you think you saw down there, girl? Or did you just invent a tale to keep yourself out of trouble? Azaze demanded. If she spoke to everyone like that, I'd bet her children died of fear when they were small. If I was doing that, I'd have said I got a face full of bad air and it made me do strange stuff, I told her. When I lie, I'm smart enough to keep it simple. That's where liars always go wrong. They get fancy, then they forget the details. It's best to have a simple, basic lie that you don't have to worry about remembering. Azaze's thin mouth twitched. I think she maybe smiled. Your career to this point has made you an expert in lying, I take it. I nodded, though it made my head spin. Yes, headwoman Azaze, but I never lie to Rosethorn. She, discourages it. Evie and I have an understanding. Rosethorn had returned with packets of herbs and a mug. She grabbed the tea kettle and poured hot water into the mug. She tells me the truth, and I don't hang her in the first well we come to. It's a solution that works tolerably well for both of us.
Yep, it sounds like she told the truth about the mountain about to explode. Got her out of trouble.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet @ReadingTemple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
I just realized that Indy turned off their camera.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Right?
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.